When we were young, my brother and I and some of our cousins would spend much of the summer on my grandparents' farm in rural Louisiana. And the crops they had were fenced in so that the cattle couldn't harm them. But there were acres and acres of land that melded together with acres of other farmers' land, and on it, all of their cattle roamed together. And late in the afternoon, sometimes my grandfather would gather up the grandkids and say, "Let's go feed the cows." And so he would then take and put load bales of hay and salt licks into the back of his pickup truck, along with, and don't be judgmental, his grandchildren. And then we would slowly drive through the adjoining fields in search of his cattle. And what I found fascinating is that my grandfather had developed this bellowing cattle call that was distinctively his. And every few yards, he would call the cows home, as they say. And pretty soon, through the fringes of the surrounding forest, cattle would begin to emerge and slowly start plodding toward the truck. My grandfather called them by name. He'd say, "Look, here comes Big Ol' Red, and oh, look, there's Bessie with her newest calf." And we'd drive a little further, and Pawpaw would say, "Okay, now you kids try it." So we would all try to make these pitiful mooing noises, and Pawpaw would join in, and in the echoes that came back to us, it was in those where our voices blended with his. And then more Bessies would come, following the Pied Piper of Vernon Parish and his pickup truck. His cattle, not his neighbors, just his, knew the sound of his voice, and they followed him. They knew the voice of the one who fed them, the one who helped them when it was time to calve, the one who tended them with care. And once the herd was all gathered, we kids would push hay from the back of the truck out onto the ground. My grandfather would lift out the salt licks and place them before a very hungry and grateful group of admirers. He'd then offer these gentle pats all around, and we'd move on to the next pasture. Well, during Jesus's day, sheep herding resembled the way my grandfather cared for his cattle. Often several shepherds would share one common sheepfold that was built out of stone. They would keep their sheep in there at night to protect them from predators and thieves. And then a gatekeeper would sleep across the entrance to the fold at night to ensure that the sheep had safety. It's not hard to imagine the shepherds themselves kind of taking turns as the gatekeepers. And in the morning, the shepherds would return to the fold. They would stand at the gate and they would call their sheep out by name. Jesus said, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name." There was one writer that I was looking at this week that shared an experience of this. He said, "Early one morning, I saw this extraordinary sight not far from Bethlehem. Two sheep herders had evidently spent the night with their flocks in a cave, and the sheep were all mixed together. And then the time had come for the shepherds to go in their separate directions. And when that happened, one of the shepherds stood at a distance from the sheep and began to call. And first one, and then another, then four or five animals ran towards him, and so on, until he had counted his whole flock." Well, in this passage, Jesus paints himself both as the gate and the shepherd who spent so much time with his flock that he knew each of them personally. Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." So just as these words of the gate offering safe, abundant, life-giving pasture to the sheep escapes Jesus's lips, he continues by saying, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus here is both the gate and the good shepherd, the one that we can feel safe with, the one who opens the gate that leads to nurturing, life-giving sustenance, the one whose voice that we can trust to lead us there. But Jesus also, in this passage, speaks of thieves and bandits who came before him, competing voices, voices that claimed to lead the sheep, but who really only came for their own benefit, not for the benefit of the flock. Their actions actually stole life from the sheep or brought destruction. These voices could have been the voices of anti-Roman revolutionaries or zealots who came and claimed to be the Messiah, people who were sometimes labeled as bandits, and there were many of those during the first century. Other competing voices were coming from the religious leaders themselves. They are the ones whom Jesus is actually addressing in this passage. Jesus has just healed a man on the Sabbath. The light of the world has brought sight and light into his darkness. Yet instead of rejoicing that this man has been given a more abundant life through the works of Jesus, the Pharisees expel the newly sighted man from the synagogue. They actually kick him out for believing that Jesus is the Messiah and that his works are from God. The Pharisees' voices claim that religious rules are the gate that leads to life. Their voices are voices that hold power over others and try to hold on to power for themselves. They offer no abundance for those who are seeking life that really is life-giving. So the Pharisees may have power to cast this formerly blind young man and his family out of the synagogue, but they can't keep him out of Jesus' fold. And they may have the power to arrest Jesus, but not to snatch his sheep or take his life, because Jesus says he lays down his life on his own accord for his sheep. So as one young man gains his sight, his former faith leaders become blind to what and who truly brings real life. Sometimes I think it's hard to know which voice or voices to follow. There are so many clamoring for our attention, promising a better life. There are voices that say, in order to have a better life, we need to open up the economy to get back to work. And some of those voices are measured and are truly seeking the welfare of the entire fold, while some voices are reckless and seeking only their own benefit or the benefit of the bottom line. Other voices say we all need to stay home to have a better life. There are internal voices that we hear, internal voices of fear or anxiety, voices of depression and deep grief that tell us that we may never have a better life. And I'm here to tell you that those are the voices of thieves and of bandits. There are voices that say in order to be included inside their gate, in order to have a good life, you must do or be X. You must adhere to certain standards. You must behave a certain way. You must believe a certain way. You must look a certain way. Go to a certain school, have a certain job, drive a certain car. There are voices that say that your worth depends on what they have to say. And those voices are the voices of thieves and bandits, Jesus would say. I love the voices of the people who every night, people we see on the news every night at 7, that sing and yell and clap hands and bang pots and pans out of gratitude for our medical workers and garbage collectors and grocery store employees and scientists who are all laying their lives on the line each day for a world in need of protection. I pray that we would give thanks to them and offer prayers for their protection. I love the voices that we hear praying for them. I love the voices that are praying for those that are grieving. I love the voices of those that don't constantly nip at our heels and growl through social media to try to get us to follow them or to believe in them. I love instead those voices that gently lead us from the front with wisdom and courage. And we hear many of those today too. In the Old Testament, the shepherd was a symbol for leadership. Moses was a shepherd who led God's people through the wilderness and to the promised land. David was plucked out of the fields with his sheep in order to be anointed king who would shepherd Israel. In Ezekiel 34, God admonishes the shepherds, the religious leaders of Israel at that time, because they have taken advantage of their flock for their own gain. They've not fed the sheep. God says to them, "You have not strengthened the weak. You've not healed the sick. You've not bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strayed. You haven't sought the lost, but with harshness you've ruled over them. So I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them." David was already long dead when Ezekiel proclaimed these words. 450 years later, enter Jesus the Christ, the Son of David. Whose voice shall we listen to? We have a shepherd in the Word made flesh whose voice we can trust. A voice that's safe to follow, a voice that we can recognize over the clamor of all of the other voices if we will just sit still and listen and then follow. That shepherd, the psalmist tells us, provides for our needs, leads us into green pastures, beside still waters, down right paths. He walks ahead of us, gently leading, not pushing from behind or nipping at our heels. There's no place that we can go where he hasn't been first. He walks in front of us and he walks with us, bringing comfort even through the darkest valleys, Scripture says. He never runs away. Instead, he prepares a table, a table of acceptance, of love, of nurturing, of peace, and of eternal life. And he prepares that table before us in the presence of our enemies, of fear and grief and worry and disease, distress and pandemic. Our shepherd tells us he is the great I Am, the same one who provided water and manna for Moses in the wilderness, the same one who protected David from his warring enemies, provides for us too. He offers everything that brings real life, that brings eternal life. For he is, as he tells us in the Gospel of John, the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world who dispels our darkness. And he provides us with living water that quenches our thirst. He is the good shepherd who calls you and knows you by name, who searches for you when you feel lost, and who rejoices over you when you are found by him. This week, friends, when the rush of hundreds of voices fill your ears, I pray that you will listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd, and may you follow him to the abundant life that he has prepared for you. And as others hear your voice this week, may they hear in it echoes of his as well, and come following with you. Amen.